It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The EU hopes to spend its way out of the pandemic. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathna in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. The European Union is set to sign off its recovery plan later today, a fund worth billions of dollars that will be used to spend on key sectors across countries in Europe in a bid to revive battered economies. The idea is that greater investment rather than austerity can jumpstart economies across the bloc that have been ravaged by the virus. But there will be caveats, with countries having to commit to furthering EU-wide goals like digitisation and cutting carbon emissions. Spain is expected to be one of the bigger beneficiaries. Its economy contracted 10.8% in 2020, so this will be a much-needed cash injection, as the BBC's Guy Hedgeco in Madrid explained to me earlier.
What the Spanish government has talked about a lot in terms of its commitments with this money is to sustainability and modernisation. And the government has talked about things like urban regeneration, modernising certain sectors, for example, the tourism sector, which makes up nearly 15% of the Spanish economy. Also helping smaller companies become more digitally savvy, and overall sustainability of the Spanish economy.
And Guy, it's not just a free-for-all, this investment. There are caveats. Spain is going to have to commit to a number of issues. It's not going to be necessarily easy to do that as well. Can you tell us a bit about that?
They are hoping to reform the pension system, make it more sustainable. Also, the idea of making the labour market less precarious, so it's not so dependent on seasons. Spain depends heavily on tourism. So in the summer months, we see a lot more employment than in the autumn or in the winter. The EU would like Spain to address the issue of certain regions in Spain where the economy has really struggled very much compared to, for example, here in Madrid or Barcelona, the big economic hubs. They want to see a more even economic development across the country.
And Guy, Spain has started to welcome back tourists. What's it been like?
We're still not seeing huge arrivals, but people are starting to come as the summer begins. And the tourism operators here are desperate for foreign visitors because the country relies so heavily on tourism. In a normal year, the country would receive around 80 million foreign visitors. Last year, it was way below that number, obviously. The government sees this as a transitional year, and it would like something like half the normal numbers of foreign visitors that we would see. The EU has lifted restrictions on American visitors, so that obviously is a boon for Spain as well. They are one of the major markets for Spain beyond the European Union.
The BBC's Guy Hedgeco in Madrid, thanks very much.
It's a pleasure.
Let's check in with the markets. European shares are off to a positive start as investors eagerly await that Federal Reserve update later today. To South Korea now, advances in technology mean so-called spy cameras are tiny and can be placed in changing rooms, hotel bedrooms or even public bathrooms. And that footage, mostly of women, is then shared online, sometimes for a price. The BBC's Laura Bicker has this report.
Human Rights Watch has described digital sex crimes as an urgent issue for women and girls in South Korea. Advances in technology mean the so-called spy cameras are tiny, often the size of a button, and can be placed in changing rooms, hotel bedrooms, or even public bathrooms to secretly film a victim. The footage is downloaded on the country's high-speed internet and shared online, sometimes for a price. The organisation is calling on the government to set up a commission to examine the sentencing guidelines and the support available to victims.
Laura Becker reporting there. Nigeria is in the grip of a power supply crisis. The World Bank says Africa's most powerful economy has more people living without access to electricity than any other country in the world. The BBC's Mike Johnson reports.
This is Ingram Press and I'm at the print room.
Victor Agbro runs a printing company in Nigeria's biggest city, Lagos.
They work with electricity. A break in transmission will affect the rulers, paper, sensors.
But the power supply is so unreliable, Victor is forced to pay for his own generators and the diesel fuel to run them to keep the presses rolling.
I came to the office 8 a.m. this morning and there was no electricity. 25% of my profit goes into generating energy. It's a huge cost. Business in Nigeria could be a lot better if the general electricity could be fixed.
According to the World Bank, lack of power now costs Nigerian businesses around $26 billion a year. This despite promises from President Muhammadu Buhari that he would fix the problem when he first came to power almost 6 years ago.
No single cause can be identified to explain Nigeria's poor economic performance over the power situation. It is a national shame.
In February this year, the World Bank loaned Nigeria another $500 million as part of the latest effort to try to tackle the situation. Yadviga Semikolanova is the bank's lead energy economist for Nigeria in the capital Abuja.
To solve this problem, you need to improve quality of infrastructure. You need to create an environment in which distribution utilities are incentivized. They have incentives to provide better service.
So what does the government have to say about Nigeria's power problems? Ahmad Zakari is special advisor to President Buhari on infrastructure.
The government, businesses, individuals, we should all be impatient about the power situation, and we all need to work together to ensure that we reach the increased levels that we need. Some of that comes with government policy. Some of that comes with people paying their bills and the environment for investment that we create with regulatory certainty.
It looks like Nigerians still have a while to wait before they get more power in their everyday lives. I'm the BBC's Mike Johnson for Marketplace.
And before we go, the share price of Coca-Cola took a knock after footballer Cristiano Ronaldo appeared to hastily clear away a couple of bottles of the fizzy stuff at a press conference in London. I'm Vishala Sripathna with a Marketplace morning report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.